The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
Shake those sheets. Get on your feet.
The players on the Royals literally hated the Yankees. The players on the Yankees literally hated the Kansas City Royals.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Gordon dives, and yes, he made that catch. A tremendous catch that robbed Chicago of two runs by the Gold Glover Alex Gordon.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
Signing Bubba Starling is great, great news for our city and the team. It really is.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson. I'm joined in studio by Mike Engel, Jeff Logan, and Jeff Herr. Chris Kamler out on assignment tonight. He's taking care of some family stuff, watching a future Royal and his son play some baseball. It's kind of a depressing day here in Kansas City, guys. We had not lost a series in a while, since like the middle or end of April. Now we've lost two in a row to Baltimore. That's a series. But we're going to get a lot more into that coming up. But we're going to talk to somebody that knows a lot about the up-and-coming parts of the Kansas City Royals, and that's Kevin Goldstein. We're going to go right to the phones and bring in Kevin Goldstein here. How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Kevin Goldstein, of course, from Baseball Prospectus and ESPN. He's got the Up and In podcast with Jason Parks. And you can follow him on Twitter at Kevin_Goldstein. One of the absolute best folks there is on the minor leagues and just baseball in general. In fact, he doesn't like any sport except baseball. And he's not afraid to let you know that if you do happen to follow him on Twitter.
To be fair, I do like sumo wrestling.
Yes, and I noticed you're becoming
we're all about fairness,
and you're becoming a bit of a soccer fan. I've noticed in some late episodes of Up and In.
I'm trying. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm trying.
Well, getting down and dirty on the Royals stuff here. It was kind of exciting week as far as the minor leagues are concerned, and I'm really getting tired of saying it's an exciting week as far as the minor leagues are concerned, and having to avoid talking about the major leagues. But Will Myers and Jake Odorizzi have been promoted. How close to the major leagues are these guys?
I think Myers could at least hold his own in the big leagues right now. I do think some time in Omaha will be beneficial to him in the sense that he'll see a different kind of pitching at AAA to AA. You have a lot of the wily veterans, if you will, the bitter old guys at AAA, just throwing a whole lot of crap up there, just breaking balls and changeups and hitting their spots. It's going to be a lot different than AA, where he's seeing a pretty steady diet of good fastballs. It's going to take some adjustments, and it's going to be a good lesson for him. He'll make those adjustments, and he'll be more than fine in the end. Odorizzi, I'm not sure he's quite ready yet. I think he could be ready later in the year. But he's a guy, he certainly earned the promotion as well as he pitched at Northwest Arkansas. And, he's not as advanced as Myers is, obviously a different position. But, I think he probably still needs at least half a season. I think he's more of a September look. But, based on the way things are going right now, if they needed a starter, if something happened, someone really started to be bad or someone got hurt, who would they call on? I don't think they would be too afraid to take Odorizzi if they had to.
Kevin, you mentioned that you thought Odorizzi earned the promotion to AAA. My personal opinion is that he probably could have used maybe just a little bit. I would have liked to see him have a little bit more, a couple more dominant starts down in Northwest Arkansas, because he kind of struggled when he got promoted last year. And then, this year, the early season, he got off to his first couple starts were only okay, and then he really started to come in his own. So you really feel like this was the proper time to do it, or do you think maybe it wouldn't have been a bad move to just leave him down for maybe another month or so?
Well, if you think that's a pattern with Odorizzi, if you think he's a guy who takes time to adjust at every level, wouldn't it make sense to get that out of the way now if you think you're going to need to depend on him later in the year? You get him in AAA, get those adjustment starts out of the way instead of having him go through those at a time where you might be more likely to need him. Was he crazy dominant? No. But he was really good. And, if you think a guy needs the challenge or think the guy is up to the challenge, you move him up. And I think that was the case with Odorizzi.
And staying with the minor leagues and AAA in particular, you and I battled on the Royal Man Report a few months back on Mike Montgomery, and of course you were right on him, and he was not quite the pitcher that we had hoped. And is there any hope for Mike Montgomery? What are we looking at with him now? What is the real Mike Montgomery?
Yeah, of course there's still hope with Mike Montgomery. It would be foolish just to totally write the guy off. But, I mean, look, it's been a while since we've seen the guy that we got really excited about. I mean, he got off to a crazy great start in 2010. And then he hit the shelf for just a little bit with some elbow soreness. There was nothing wrong with him. There's nothing structurally bad. He didn't need any sort of procedure or anything like that. He just went on the DL for a little bit. That's the last time we've seen that guy. That's the last time we've seen the crazy good Mike Montgomery, the guy with the low to mid-90s fastball, killer breaking ball, ultra-athletic, hitting his spots. That guy we haven't seen for what's going on 2 years now, so it's time to lower expectations on Mike Montgomery. The good news is the stuff's still there. I mean, he still has well above average velocity for a left-hander. He still gets excellent break on that curveball. It's just all command issues. You know, he has trouble locating his fastballs. He has trouble using both sides of the plate. And with that breaking ball, he has trouble throwing it for strikes. It's really just primary, a chase pitch right now. And so he obviously has, I mean, it's been a struggle. But he has some things he needs to work through, some things that he needs to battle internally as far as with his stuff and harnessing his stuff. And how much he does it, that's the open question. I mean, you could project him anything from a power lefty reliever to a number three starter at this point. You might not be wrong.
Is there anything that you see as far as the Royals development program and some of their pitching issues? I mean, Montgomery's one example, but Chris Dwyer hasn't really gotten anything together. Danny Duffy is, he was doing well, but he's now injured and on the shelf. John Lamb is also another guy who's been hurt. Is there anything, organizationally that the Royals should be doing differently to get some of these guys who look like they have a lot of upside to develop and pan out at the higher levels of the minors and into the majors?
I don't think so. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not really a big fan of blaming development staff for when things go wrong. I think, all they really are kind of guidance counselors and then there to help get a guy to the big leagues and kind of keep him on his development path. It's up to the kid to get better. It's up to, and there's sometimes luck to stay healthy, and it's up to scouts to find talent. It's very hard to make a kid way worse. It's very hard to make a bad kid a good baseball player. So, look, this happens. These are pitchers. You know how it is. Come on, guys, you're Royals fans. You especially know how it is. And so this was bound to happen. I think if you were looking 2 years ago at this quartet of lefties and saying, these are our number one, two, three, and four starters in 4 years, you weren't kidding. You were kidding only, you're kidding with yourself. There's no way that was going to happen. There was going to be a regression. There was going to be guys taking a step backwards. But then you have guys taking a step forwards, like Odorizzi, and you have, pitchers looking really good in the bullpen, and some of those guys might still become relievers, and some of them are going to fall by the wayside. It's just the general attrition when it comes to prospects and how it always is.
Now, jump into the major leagues, and if Twitter didn't have enough when it was Will Myers and Odorizzi getting called up, the Royals' Twitter sphere has just gone off the deep end this week between those two and now Eric Hosmer. He's batting like 175. He's getting a day off today and tomorrow to try to get his head right. They don't even want him in the cages. People out here are talking, trade him, send him to the minors. What is the solution for Eric Hosmer? How do you fix a guy that has so much potential but is underachieving so bad right now?
As far as whether he needs to be in the minors or not, I think the Royals are the best people to make that decision. You and I are not spending every day with Eric Hosmer. You and I are not getting, talking to him and figuring out where the scores head's at. When you watch him hit, it's pretty clear he's pressing. It's pretty clear that he's doing bad math in his head, and he's going up with every bat trying to get five hits at once to get his average back up. Trying to hit three home runs in a single at bat to get the slugging back up. And obviously that's not the way to go. He's trying to yank everything, trying to crush everything. He's not doing what he did last year, which is simply focus on hard contact, and because you're such a big, strong guy, the power will come. Your strength will work for you naturally. He's really kind of amped up his swing, is trying to solve all of his problems in a single at bat. And I think giving him some days off, and not just, like you said, away from the cage as well, might be a good thing to clear his head. And if there's not enough progress, then maybe Omaha is the best thing where he can try to figure it out without the big spotlight on him. But this is going to happen. Even with the best of players, at some point, baseball is the most humbling game. At some point, you're going to get kicked in the teeth. That's what Hosmer's going through right now. I mean, think about when Bryce Harper came up here. It was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And like 4 days later, he's hitting 210. And so, it's a game of adjustments. Pitchers have made adjustments to him. He has to adjust to that. and he needs to just kind of go back to what he did last year, which was simply getting the bat, firing the bat through the zone, and trusting his hand.
And on the flip side of that, of Eric Hosmer kind of underachieving, you look at someone Mike Moustakas, and here in Kansas City, we've kind of lumped those two together as the guys that are really going to take this franchise in a new direction. But Mike Moustakas, I think, has just exceeded all expectations this year, especially after the poor start that he got on last year. So what do you see from Mike Moustakas when you look at him that has contributed to the better success he's had this year and could possibly project to him going forward and keeping this success rolling?
Well, I mean, this heading into the 2011 season, I was the guy who had Moustakas ahead of Hosmer. I mean, this is a ridiculously talented player. He got way overshadowed by Hosmer last year for obvious reasons, but you started to see him make some big adjustments during the last 6 weeks or so of the regular season last year, and that's continuing to this year. He's a fantastic hitter, crazy bats, need a lot of strength. And let's face it, if you look at what the body looked like a year ago and what the body looks like now, it's a big difference. You know, he's gotten into much better shape. It's helped him defensively. It's helped him become more loose at the plate. I've always been a big Moustakas believer. I think he's got the potential to be an all-star third baseman.
Yeah, one of the things I heard you talk on, I think you're on your tour during spring training talking about 15 different Kansas City stations and whatnot, but you were talking about how Moustakas kind of came back with changing his approach and going to left field, going the other way, and being willing to do that, and then you were interested this year in seeing if he could include the power within that same approach, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. I want to go a little bit deeper into the minor leagues and kind of look at some lower-level guys. Jason Adam is starting out with a pretty good season, but his strikeouts aren't really that great. Is he lucky? Is he good? Is he at the right level for his talent right now, and what are we looking for him going forward?
And yeah, I think he's certainly at the right level. You know, as far as him being lucky or good, I think what he is weird, because he's, I would say that in a very positive way, because what he is different. This is not the pitcher we thought he would be. I think we all heard the tales of the spring training. He's throwing 98 miles an hour, and here comes this big power pitcher from right down the street, and this kid's going to be awesome. And that velocity's never shown up since. He's never thrown that hard again. He's more low 90s now, touches 94, but, really sitting comfortably kind of 91, 92, but there's all the stuff around it. You know, he's got good movement on the fastball. Breaking ball has come leaps and bounds. His changeup has improved dramatically. His command's improved dramatically. So all of a sudden, he's not nearly as powerful as he once was, but he's a better pitcher. And so, it's a weird thing. Those are always the most difficult guys to wrap your head around, where a guy becomes something very, very different from what you were expecting. It's going well. I mean, you have to be happy with what he's doing right now in terms of both stuff and performance. It's just not, he's not the guy we thought he would be.
And another player, Christian Colon, is having a great year in Double A after a couple of at least subpar and almost disappointing seasons. Do you think he's turned it on? Is he getting ready to be the next guy who goes to Omaha for promotion?
I'm surprised he hasn't moved up already, actually. I do think that will happen. And here's the thing, guys. This guy was the fourth pick in the draft. He wasn't the fourth best talent in the draft. Mm-hmm. But he was a mid-first-round guy. Everyone saw him as a mid-first-round guy. And so, it was kind of silly to just write him off because he wasn't having a crazy year. He's still a really great baseball player, and that's what was always so appealing about him. He's a remarkable baseball player. He's not a tools guy at all. He's nowhere close to a tool shed. He's a below-average runner. He doesn't have a ton of power, but what does he do? He hits. He puts bats on balls consistently. He plays, he doesn't have a range of a shortstop, but he has remarkable defensive fundamentals, outstanding baseball intelligence, huge makeup kid. I mean, all that stuff's on his side, and it took a while to come together, which happens often. I think this guy can still have some value. The question is where. He obviously, at shortstop, he's a little shaky just because of the athleticism, but the Royals have a fantastic shortstop right now. Mm-hmm. And second base is, let's face it, there's a gaggle of guys who play second base. So, maybe his best solution is kind of as a super sub guy who can play second, short, and third.
Well, we could talk to Kevin Goldstein all day. In fact, when we had him on the Royal Man Report, I think we had you on there for a full hour. But he's got bigger and better things to attack. So, Kevin Goldstein of Baseball Prospectus, thank you very much for coming on with us. Kevin's actually going to be in Kansas City, unless he decides not to come, July 8th. And
I need barbecue, guys. I'm coming.
And barbecue's on us, Kevin. I'm serious
Absolutely.
About that.
Uh-huh.
You let us know when we get here. We got beers and barbecue. We'll take you and get you some fruity beers, and we'll get you some regular beers for you and Jason as soon as you guys get into town. So we can't wait to get you here. So we're going to let you get going. But thank you very much. Check out Kevin Goldstein on Baseball Prospectus and on ESPN.com. And for more details, on the Baseball Prospectus Tour, check out Baseball Prospectus, the Baseball Prospectus Stadium Tour. And we can't wait to have you out here, maybe get you out to the Fan Fest with us, Kevin. We're going to have a great time. But we'll be right back.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
I'm saying the latest.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go see a Royals game.
Wow. That's sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcons skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
Don't miss the home opener Thursday, May 17th with free T-Bones t-shirts for the first 2,000 fans and dollar beers all night long. Tickets on sale now as the T-Bones begin the season with a 7-game homestand May 17th to the 23rd. And don't miss the free T-Bone Stadium Art Canvas giveaway May 22nd, first pitch 7:05.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I've been very careful to check my sheet and make sure I remember what show I'm doing right now. We are here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and we're going to be joined here in just a minute by Joe Rudy, a former Kansas City Athletic. But really quick before we go to that, a little bit about what we're doing here. We are the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We are taking you through baseball now and then. You had your now, yeah, with Kevin Goldstein, a little bit of the future even. We're going to take you to your then with Joe Rudy and Jeff Logan, the president of the Kansas City Historical Society. He's going to take us through most of this interview. And then we're going to learn more about the Historical Society coming up later. You learned more about him in the first episode if you caught that. And if you didn't catch that, check out kingsofkaufman.com/podcast or royalmanreport.com. That'll take you to the same page. And the last Vault episode is on there. You just have to go through the scroll a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and bring in Joe Rudy right now. Joe, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Good to hear you guys.
Hey, Joe, we're glad to have you here. We're excited, of course, as a Kansas City a past Kansas City Athletic. Of course, they've been gone for a number of years. It's always exciting to get you guys on here, and we're always trying to get you out to one of the reunions. Of course, this year's reunion is June 8th and 9th, but we're just thinking of some of the days when you were drafted by the Kansas City A's in 1964, I believe.
Yeah, I signed the last year before the draft started. 1965 was the very first year of the draft. I think Rick Mundy was the very first player ever picked, of course, by the Kansas City A's. And I signed in 64. I actually signed with a broken hand. I got hit by a pitch and broke my left hand. And the scout that signed me sent me to Kansas City. So I was up there for about 3 weeks or more, rehabbing and just hanging out at the ballparks. First time I'd ever been to a major league ballpark, other than when the Giants came out to San Francisco and went a few games up there. But that was quite an experience heading into Kansas City back in those days. A lot different.
Well, I suppose it was Charlie Finley who signed you, and then you got to spend a number of years with Charlie, you know, playing here through 67 and then on out to Oakland, where, of course, your fame and the A's prospered. So do you have any fond memories of Mr. Finley?
Oh, yeah, I know. He was a definite character. That's why I tell everybody that looks at my white hair. I said, yeah, my hair used to be normal until I spent 13 years playing for Charlie. But, you know, back in the day, you know, things were so much different. You know, we had no options at all because, the ball clubs owned the players lock, stock, and barrel. They could bury in the minor leagues forever or, you know, we had no options. And, you know, you could win the Triple Crown and they could offer you a pay cut. It just, there was no alternative. And, you know, back in those days when I first came up to the big leagues, I know Finley came in one door, I went out the other. I just tried to stay out of sight, out of mind, you know.
Well, our guest is Joe Rudy. And Joe, we were looking at some of the numbers here, and 3 was an important number for you. 3 gold gloves, 3 all-star appearances, and 3 world championships. And obviously those world championships had to be awful special.
Oh, they were great. You know, people that are old enough to remember back in those days, you know, the old Kansas City A's, everybody seemed to say that, you know, they were like the Yankees AAA team or an extra AAA team because every time they got a good player, they'd sell him to the Yankees, and you know, they did not have much of a team there in the early years. And you know, we've got—I know I came up in 1967. Actually, I played A ball in the California League as an 18-year-old, and went—you know, 67. I think I was 19, closing on 20, and I went from A ball to the big leagues. I was opening day left fielder for Kansas City in 67. And a little over my head at the time. I'd never played the outfield, just a little bit in the summer of 66. Because I was in the Marine Corps Reserves, I didn't get out until the end of April. I only played about 80 games in Modesto that year. And, of course, we had our whole ball club there. We had Raleigh Fingers and La Russa and Dave Duncan. You know, I think 14 guys in that ball club in Modesto ended up going to the major leagues. And most of those guys went to Birmingham, and so, like I said, I made the big club, and then they sent me down after about 3 weeks to work on playing defensive more than anything else, and I hit the ball halfway decent. But anyway, I got sent down to Birmingham, and then I was up and down, you know, Duncan and Reggie and myself. A lot of us were Finley would bring us up, play a little bit. We'd start struggling and send us back down to minor leagues and get our swings back and get our confidence up. And, you know, he was very smart about how he brought us all along. I think our first year in Oakland, when we pretty much had all the ball club together out there, our average on the field age was 22 for the whole starting lineup.
Well, of course, you had a pretty good outfield when you were in Kansas City. You had Rick Mundy and Reggie Jackson and yourself, and the infield wasn't too bad either with Sal Bando and Campanaris and Dick Green. Those were some great players, and of course, the pitching staff went on to have Hall of Famers like Catfish. And what were some of your fondest memories of Kansas City? We always talk about the mule and all the hijinks of the players, but there were so many great managers also that we always think of that played for the A's.
Well, it really was. You know, Haywood Sullivan was there for a while. And, of course, in 67, Alvin Dart just sort of took a liking to me in spring training and started working with me on hitting and stuff. And just seemed like everything he told me to do, I did. And I had a great spring training. But, it was a great ballpark. It was like carpet. George did such a beautiful job keeping that stadium up, and I think everybody that came in there were just marveled at how beautiful the stadium, the grass and everything was. And of course, all the extras of the sheep in the outfield and the zoo and the mule and the rabbit coming up out of the ground with the balls in it and on and on and on. I mean, those were all just things that Charlie, I guess, was trying to liven up the game or whatever he was doing. But I think my favorite memory is actually the opening day in Kansas City in 67. We played against the Cleveland Indians, and Joe Adcock was the manager. And if you guys have ever seen pictures, he was just a monster of a man. He was huge. And I remember Luke Krause, I believe, was starting, and that's the first time we'd ever worn the white shoes. And I believe we were wearing white sleeves, if I remember right. And Lou threw the first pitch in there, and Joe came charging out of there like a wild bull up to the home plate to protest the game because, he couldn't, back then there was rules about, couldn't wear anything that would distract the hitter, all that kind of stuff. And obviously Finley had already cleared this with the commissioner's office and stuff, but I'll never forget seeing him charging out of that dugout.
A couple of questions coming in on our Twitter. We are at a KC Baseball Vault. Definitely follow us on Twitter for those of you that use that. Our good friend Dave Darby 46, Joe, he wanted you to rate how you consider your career. What are your biggest achievements? Your All-Star games, your Gold Gloves, or the ring?
I think winning, and that's what I've tried to get across a lot of the younger players is that people don't ever come up to me and say, "Hey, you hit 300 here, or you hit 250 there, or any of that kind of stuff." They remember whether you were a decent player or not, but mostly they would remember that you won. And I think that by far and away, that winning the first World Series, and of course we were so fortunate to keep our ball club together and everybody healthy those 3 years to actually get in and win. I think that is far, outdistance everything, all my personal things that I happen to do, winning a Gold Glove or whatever, getting the All-Star teams. Those are all nice, but nothing replaces winning that World Series and winning the ring. I mean, that's what everybody that gets in the game, and you really sit down and you start looking back at some of the fantastic, great players that never won a World Series or even played them. You look at Ernie Banks and Billy Williams, and there's a lot of people that are Hall of Famers that never got in a World Series. So I feel very, very fortunate.
Now, there another question that came in from Twitter. At one point, Charlie Finley was trying to send you to Boston, and there was some controversy in that. Give us, kind of a Cliff Notes version of that incident with Bowie Kuhn voiding the sale and your reaction to that situation.
Well, it was really a strange thing, actually, because Darryl Johnson was the manager of the Boston Red Sox, and Mr. Yawkey, of course, was the owner, and as a young guy, of course, I loved the ballpark. I used to go out to the ballpark every day, like noon when we played in Boston, because I loved that ballpark and the history and everything else. And I got to know Mr. Yawkey just a little bit from him being out there, because he would always be out there really early, 2 p.m. for a night game. He'd be playing Pepper with the Bat Boys. And I'd go out there and be running around, whatever. And I got to, talking to him a few times. Very, very nice man. And Ted Williams, of course, talked to him many times when I got a chance to talk to him about hitting and stuff. And then in the wintertime, Darryl Johnson lived out not too far from where a lot of us did with the A's there in the wintertime in the Bay Area, and I used to duck hunt with him. And so in mid-season there, June 15th of 76, we had a day off, and I think on a Monday, and then we played Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with the Red Sox in Oakland. And that Monday, they were trying to get a hold of us. And we'd gone somewhere with the kids to get away for the day. And so Finley had sold myself and Raleigh Fingers to the Red Sox for $1 million apiece, unsigned. We could have left in a couple months. I mean, this is June 15th, and obviously at the end of the season in October, we were free agents to go do whatever we wanted to. He actually tricked Bright and Blue into signing a contract because the Yankees offered to buy him from Finley for $1.5 million, if he signed the contract. And so the Yankees told Finley to give Bida whatever he wanted in the contract. And most of us had tendered offers back to Finley. He'd send us out contracts at the beginning of the year. And then we had sent back what we wanted. And so he tricked Bida into signing and actually got Bida to come in and sign a contract. And then the deal was gone through. And at that time, I do not believe, this is from a lot of years ago, so I'm trying to remember, I don't think anybody had ever been sold for cash for anywhere near that kind of money. I mean, I'm thinking it was more than a couple hundred, 300,000 or something, maybe. I just don't know for sure. But that was a lot of money. We were, as a team, we were only 2 games out of first place in Kansas City at the time. And Finley, not unfortunately, I mean, I still think that it was his right to sell it. That was one of those things. But he started popping off in the paper about how much he'd sold us for, you know, three players for $3.5 million. And, of course, he and Bowie Kuhn had already had a very contentious relationship that they hated each other. And Bowie stepped in and said for the good of baseball, he was negating the sales because we were, you know, in a pennant fight. And so I went, Raleigh and I went over there, actually just went, you know, down the hall and into the visitor's locker room, and they had to take our white shoes and, you know, paint them black. I still have those shoes. So all my, I had about three or four pair of white shoes, they painted black. So we were there that first night on Tuesday, and it was, I'm glad you didn't, because I really felt weird. You know, I spent all those years, almost 13 years with the A's, get traded all of a sudden like that. It just, my whole equilibrium was really, I mean, that team hardly run in the outfield. And so Darryl Johnson did not play Raleigh and I that night at all. And the next morning, Bowie Kuhn, overturned the sale, and we actually ended up in limbo for about 3 weeks. As Finley was fighting, you know, with Bowie, that he said, no, these guys aren't my players. They can't come to the ballpark. You know, they're not A's anymore. And so it was really sort of a strange situation.
That was the Kansas City A's. It was a strange situation
like
the whole
mess.
Time. And, you know, I don't know. You said you didn't know how to judge your career, but we know how to judge your career here in Kansas City. You were a great ball player and beloved here in Kansas City, and would always treasure getting you out for one of our reunions. So many of the guys asked for you, and we hope to have you out someday, Joe, and be exciting for us. So we sure appreciate you coming on tonight.
I appreciate you asking me, and I'll get there one of these days. We all of a sudden started getting a lot of grandkids here, and they've all been born right around June in that area. So the last 5 years, it seemed like we've been going somewhere helping out with the new grandkids being born.
So, well, we appreciate it, and thanks for the call in, and look forward to having you out someday.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, guys. Good
thanks,
luck.
Joe.
Thanks, Joe Rudy, and we'll be right back here in just a couple of minutes.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
It was a long, long time ago.
The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson, if you're not familiar with my voice, of the Royal Man Report, and I'm joined by two of my co-hosts, the great Jeff Herr and Michael Engel, and then we're also joined by Jeff Logan of the Kansas City Historical Society, who is the person behind giving us the opportunity to do this show. He is our captain. So a couple of things that I need to mention real quick is that last commercial you heard, that was Senior Healthcare Specialists. They are the sponsors of this segment. And I did forget to mention that our last segment was sponsored by Jay's Catering, which is right here in the Kansas City area in Overland Park. And Jay's Catering has all of your corporate catering needs and anything at all you need. We can get that taken care of for you. And why don't you give them the number real quick?
It's 913-961-0929. Ask for Jeff, and we can handle all your corporate needs, breakfast and lunches, anything like that.
All right. Well, we got this show kind of started on a nice little jump there, and had Kevin Goldstein on, so we didn't get much of a chance to truly open the show. And you know, we do that sometimes on the Royal Man Report too. If these guys tell you they can go at 6 or 7 o'clock, you know, that's what you do. You got to work with them and go with it. So, of course, welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Please follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault, and find us on Facebook. That's the next big thing coming up. Facebook is www.facebook.com/KansasCityBaseballVault. And like I said, we had some great guests our first week out here. We had Clint Robinson, which was a great interview, and I really wish we had Clint Robinson today. If we were going to give Hosmer a couple of days off, then I would have loved to had somebody other than Johnny Giovitella batting in that DH spot. But
C-Rob, that's a lot of complicated stuff. So.
Yeah, C-Rob's getting through. I wish this team's makeup was a little bit better, and I'm not saying necessarily that he is. He's not saying. I'm sorry. Let me start over. Sometimes they work, guys. Sometimes they don't. He's not upset about being in AAA, or that, at least that's how he comes off. But you know, a guy like that is just ready to be in the major leagues. He's done a lot of time down there. And does he deserve to be in the major leagues as much as somebody like Keila Kaiahui does?
He deserves a shot. Absolutely.
You know, and Keila hit a game-winning home run today. He'd done that for the Royals a few times. And there's guys like that everywhere. It's just unfortunate that Clint can't catch on somewhere, that we can't get an A or double A pitcher for him that makes Dayton Moore happy enough to let him go somewhere else. Because Butler's here, Hosmer's here. I just don't see any spot for C-Rob. But
you always want to have depth, though. And that's one of the things about a year ago, I was at Blog to the K, and I asked Dayton Moore about that. You know, what do you do when you have Billy Butler and Eric Hosmer, who had just been called up, and you have Clint Robinson down at AAA, who, you know, he's hit at every level. He's hit every single year. And that's what he said. You know, you just want to have that depth. And look at it right now. Eric Hosmer's struggling. There's the potential that he may be demoted to AAA. If we had gotten rid of Clint Robinson in the offseason, that's a hole we have to find a way to fill. Because, I mean, odds are he'd be the guy who would come up, you would imagine, I would think. Because he'd have to. You want him to play every day. Hosmer's going to want to play every day at AAA. You know, so it's an easy switch there.
I think they've created a problem for themselves, though. You know, they can't send Hosmer down. There's no way. You know, I've spoke to some people out at the stadium, and, you know, I ask them, whose team is this? And they said, this is Hosmer's team. And I said, well, what about Gordon? And this is Hosmer's team. You know, he's going to be the face of this team. So they've committed to this, and I don't think they can go back now.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, you look at Eric Hosmer. Not only the face of the team now, but looking towards the future. I mean, they're building this, and I think they want to try and create that sort of synergy and sense of belonging to maybe help him kind of want to stay here beyond the requisite 6 years that we get him for. So I think you're absolutely right on that, and it kind of feeds back into that whole our time thing where the Royals kind of create these problems for themselves, and it's not necessarily, you know, the biggest problem that there is, but it is something that they kind of have to contend with, and it's a sticky situation right now, because if Hosmer's not getting better, something's got to be done.
Well, if he hits 180, we don't have to worry about him going anywhere. So,
that's very true.
He's going to be here a long
time. Nobody's
going
to want him.
The point where I'll start to worry about Eric Hosmer is when he's striking out more, which he's not. He struck out more last year as a rookie and had a great rookie season, and when he starts hitting dribblers every single time up, he's still hitting the ball hard. You know, Sam Mellinger pointed out, you know, a number of different times that, you know, he's hitting the ball exactly where people are set. And, you know, once that ball leaves your bat, you can't really do anything about that. It's going to go where it's going to go. His batting average when he puts the ball in play is almost half of what the league average expectation is going to be.
I was going to hit on that. I mean, it's, without getting too stat geeky on the whole thing, I mean, it's like 165 right now for batting average on balls in play, which is, I mean, it's just patently unsustainable.
I've never seen it that low this late in this large of a sample size.
I mean, normally if someone's hitting 190 or something, they're striking out a bunch, and their BABIP is still sitting around like 250. Yeah. Something like that, but just it's really weird.
Yeah,
how awful his luck is.
Last year he went through a stretch after about his first couple weeks in the majors where he hit 220 and he wasn't slugging any. He was striking out a lot. He was striking out a lot more than he was during this stretch, and his batting average on balls in play was about 210, which is still very, very low. So shortly after that, he started to break out and finished up, and the rest of the way he was hitting like 320. I mean, he was doing much better. I think you just have to stick with him, unless it comes to the point where, you know, he's chasing awful pitches every time up. And, you know, Tuesday night he hit two rockets, and they both fell in for hits. Finally,
if you're gonna ask me today, you know, even after Hosmer going 0-7 last night, If you're going to ask me today what's the Royals' biggest problem, I don't know if Hosmer comes into the top 20. You know, I mean, the Royals, this team has a lot of issues, and Hosmer batting 180 might be one of them, but it's not something that I'm worried about for a long-term future in order to help this, you know, help this team win. I think they got bigger fish to fry, if you will, than to spend too much time worrying, because he's going to be fine. But it is a little disconcerting, though.
Well, if they had three great starting pitchers, this wouldn't be a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we'd be talking about when will he get out of the slump.
And I've heard some people make this point. Just we're talking about all these things that have, you know, Hosmer struggling and the fact that we have no pitching. I mean, the Royals are still kind of hanging around, which is surprising with the amount of just awful luck.
I mean, they had a 12-game losing streak.
They had a 12-game losing streak. They're
not
starting
completely wiped out.
Their starting catcher, who's you know, supposed to break out this year, gets hurt, and their center fielder gets hurt, and Hosmer's in the tank, and Gordon's not hitting well, and Frank Gore's not hitting well,
and Danny Duffy's out.
And
now.
Danny Duffy's gone for the season, and they're still. I mean, I don't know what after yesterday and today. I don't know how far they out, but you know, a couple days ago they were 4.5 games out.
Like five or six games.
You know, five. Yeah. So I mean, they get hot when you know. Five or six in a row. We're talking about the Royals, so
they
that,
just
there's
won four
always an
and
if.
They should have won five. But, so you know,
yeah. So I mean, it's a you know, it's impressive that they're still able to stay, and that shows you something about this young team and how you know, even though their record's not the best, still an exciting team to watch.
You know, and they should have won six. If we're going to say that, if you're going to say they should have won yesterday, they should have won today too.
I don't know. I mean, it's different when you blow the lead in the fifth rather than with two outs in the ninth. I don't think you can. Anytime Luke Hochaver starts in 2012, you can't pencil in the win. In the fifth inning, you got to let it take its course.
Hochaver did well. I mean, I wasn't going
to
get on that.
I was listening to it, and he sounded
didn't
like
do
he was
bad.
Pitching
I was,
better. Yeah.
I was. I went to the game today, and we had a work outing, and it was the Hochaver pitched. I mean, he pitched well. He pitched what I think his ceiling is. You know, basically right now, not necessarily what it was.
And he had
when
a good start
drafted,
last time out too.
But you know, that is what if you're going to expect something good from Hochaver, that's what you're going to expect. But just that. That error that Jerod Dyson had, he just horribly misplayed that ball.
Terrible play.
It was an awful, awful play on that ball. And that was the absolute turning point in the game. And then Crow get two walks. I mean, you can't do stuff like that, especially against a team playing as well as the Orioles and expect to win.
Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about the second half of what our show is about. And that's, of course, We do have a little bit of a focus on the past, and last week we was brought to us by the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Again, you can find them on Facebook at you just search Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. You'll find the actual link.
Same thing with the website.
Yeah, yep. And Kansas City Baseball Historical Society.com. They're not Twitter guys yet, so
Not going to happen.
they're not going to go that direction.
Hey, that's what I said too. And then now look at me. So we'll get you there.
You have blogged to the K to blame, and a guest appearance on the Royal Man Report to blame for you having to get on Twitter.
Yeah,
it was kind of from there after that.
That's true.
But so yeah, check them out. But they brought us Mike Hershberger, who was a kind of a last second guest for us, and he was awesome. He was great, great
very
to hear
guy.
From these guys. That I'll be honest, I hadn't heard very much of. I knew the names, but I didn't know much about. The two guys we've had on this show, and I've been very intrigued to hear kind of their stories and what it was like for the KCAs. And the sad thing is, it's not much different then as it is now. It just seems like this town is kind
of
baseball cursed.
You knew there was a team before the Royals, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I knew
that. Okay, we're just double checking. Well, you know, a lot of fans don't. You go out to the K and they're riding the Ferris wheel or whatever they're doing out there,
right.
And you say, "Who was the team before the Royals?" And they're like, "Well, nobody." And you're like, "Well, yeah."
Well, I got a good story. I was at out eating dinner last week with my parents and my girlfriend, and I asked my dad about if he listened to the show and if he knew if he remembered Mike Hershberger. And he said, "Oh yeah, I had his baseball card and everything." And then my dad got excited and started telling my girlfriend about because she had no idea about the Kansas City A's or she's not a big sports fan or anything. And he started telling her all about the A's and Charlie Finley and everything that went. So I mean. It's definitely a big part of the sports history. There's a lot of people that really, still like the A's. I mean, my dad has a couple of Kansas City A's hats, and they're not, like, older ones. You know, he's bought
them
recently.
They're not, like, giveaway hats.
Yeah, he's bought them at the store because they sell them. And so it's definitely – there's a lot of people that still really like the A's and like the baseball history that's been Kansas
City.
Well,
you ask a lot of people, and I run into people all the time, and you say ask them about the Monarchs, and they don't even know the Monarchs played here.
Hmm.
And we're talking about one of the greatest teams that – in the history of baseball was the Monarchs,
right.
and the heritage and the history of some of the great players they had and with Ernie Banks and such, but you don't hear anything about it.
No.
But definitely check out the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society website. They have a meeting every month. Real quickly, when is the meeting this month?
Next Thursday, the 24th, at the flea market. It's our trivia night, so we get all the great teams to come in. You form a team. We have Joe Zeb's Mustache is one of our teams, and I think they got third last year. He called and told me that just recently. So the next Thursday, the 24th, we usually get there about 6, and it starts at 7.
Are you going to have a speaker, too, or is it just a trivia?
Willie Mays Akins is going to be signing books that night.
Friend of the program, so definitely get your Willie Mays Akins book and go out there and get it signed by him. The A's reunion's coming up. More information on that on the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society.com or on Facebook at Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Grab you a membership. They're only $25, or you can go to the meetings and pay $5 a time at the meetings. But definitely check it out. But we got to get out of here for just a minute. We're going to be right back just on the other side.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. Along with Paul Sputter, Steve Busby. Glad to have you along. And boy, what a way to start off a tough road trip.
The Vault.
Hey, Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh, yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkaufman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Vault. That's fun right there. That's Chris Kamler at his finest, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, of course, makes all the commercials for the Royal Man Report, which can be heard every Sunday live at royalmanreport.com from 7 to 8 p.m. And we did a Siri commercial for our Kelly's sponsorship back in the day and played it until people were real tired of it. And now you have one for the Royal Man, for the Royal Man Report on the KC Vault here. So I'm going to turn things over to Jeff Herr for a second here. He's going to give us a trivia question. And just a quick housekeeping note. If you won tickets last week, they are for tomorrow. If you hadn't heard anything about them, they are for tomorrow. Just show up at the box office. They have your names. And if you can't go tomorrow, shoot me a message on Twitter at KC Royal Man or at KC Baseball Vault. And I'll get with Jeff, and we can probably get you tickets to a different day. Just let me know.
We'll call.
Yeah, and we'll call them. But they're all going to be at will call. And so the tickets for today will be for tomorrow as well. Unless you can't go, again, let us know. Just message me at KC Royal Man, and we'll get you squared away on a date that you can go.
And those tickets will be for our three winners here. We've got 2 packs of 4 and 1 pack of 2 tickets. So be sure and clarify which ones you want when you call in. And when you call in with your answer, the call-in number is 913-491-8255. And here is the moment you all have been waiting for, the trivia question for the Kansas City Baseball Vault. The T-Bones will play this weekend. They play the New Jersey Jackals starting tomorrow, which is what the tickets will be for. And Angel Baroa, a fun name for all of us Royals fans out there, is playing for the New Jersey Jackals. So Baroa won Rookie of the Year for the Kansas City Royals in 2003. The trivia question is, who won the very first Rookie of the Year for the Kansas City Royals? Now, not very first Rookie of the Year overall in Major League history, but just for the Royals. Who was the first ever Royals player to win Rookie of the Year? So get your answer. Call in. Call 913-491-8255 for a chance to win your T-Bones tickets. And be sure to clarify which package you want. Good luck, everyone.
And if you go to T-Bones, T-BonesBaseball.com, you can, of course, get all your tickets there. And a little clarification, they actually open tonight. At 7 o'clock tonight, they actually started play, so I'm trying to call up the score here. They don't have a live ticker or anything, but they have a live stream channel, just like you get with the Royal Man Report. There's actually a live stream channel for the T-Bones as well, which you can get off of T-BonesBaseball.com and watch the T-Bones games right from your computer. So definitely check that out as well.
You know what's funny? When you mention Angel Baroa, who's a terrible name from Kansas City Royals past, I saw a clip today. Apparently it's Jose Guillen's birthday. I guess nice. He's 36 or 49, or I don't know how old he is.
Doesn't matter.
Does he?
Probably not. But I saw this clip, and it's a young Jose Guillen on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he gets this ball to the wall and throws it all the way to third on the line, and he throws out Nefi Perez.
Oh, jeez.
So it's like this convergence of terrible. I mean, Guillen had some power years, but, man, when he was bad, he was bad.
All he had to do was run hard to home, and we had had a good trade for him to the San Francisco Giants, and he couldn't even do that right.
That'd be like naming our, what was it, our 2004 All-Star, our lone All-Star from that year. Well, you're close. I mean, this
Ken
guy
Hardy.
Went on. Yeah, he went on to play for the T-Bones too.
Yeah, that's right.
I think my all-time favorite, just person that we had such high hopes for, is Bob the Hammer Hamlin.
I was gonna say Hamlin.
I don't want to compare Hamlin to Eric Hosmer because obviously in different stratospheres.
Well, and Hamlin was 5 years older, I think.
True. Yeah. But just when I think of, you know. There's that little bit of Royals doubt in my mind that says, what if Eric Hosmer just had the one good year and he actually isn't what everyone thinks he is? Those are the kind of names that came to mind. But we're not going to go down that road.
Funny story on that. Actually, if you do want to go down that road, you can check out a good friend of the program who's coming back on with us. I can't remember the date now, but he's coming back on with us in June on the Royal Man Report. Sam Mellinger just wrote an article exactly about that. About how Hosmer and Hamlin comparisons have started and how Hosmer is not Hamlin. So I'll give you a little tidbit on that you can see that coming up. So, yeah, there is definitely...
Like I said, different stratospheres.
There's definitely a good article in the Star about that. So check that out when you get a chance.
I don't want to break in here, but Will Myers got a base hit in his first at-bat for Omaha. So that looks good. He's officially
batting,
hitting 1,000.
Batting 1,000. And we still have two tickets, so if you got a trivia question again, who is the first Royals player ever to win Rookie of the Year? So if you get your answer, call 913-491-8255. We still have two more tickets to the T-Bone.
And we've eliminated some, so you don't have to say Ken Harvey or Nefi Perez or some of those guys.
Or Bob Hamlin. And definitely not Angel Baroic, trivia question.
Or George Brett. We'll throw him out. That's a help, because I think he was third, maybe, or something.
I think he was third in 1974.
There are people giving out the correct answer to the KC Baseball.
You've got to call the numbers, guys.
Yeah, the KC Baseball Vault Twitter handle has a correct answer. I see Michael Ingle's Twitter handle, which is Michael Ingle. Somebody just shot it out there. So
yeah.
people are getting it. But it looks like we're done. Looks like we've got our tickets given out.
All three.
There we go. Congratulations to the winners.
Congratulations to our winners.
And again,
Dave
those
Darby wanted to tell you guys he won, but he didn't want the tickets. He just wanted to let you guys know.
Okay, that's how Dave Darby is. So Dave Darby wins again just because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
And we did have a couple of people try to answer via Twitter. And if you folks really want to go to the T-Bones, let me know, and I'm sure we can probably get you set up. We can probably get a couple of you set up as well. But yes, the answer was Lou Piniella, 1969, and Mr. Michael Ingle, who is just an unlimited amount of information, it seems.
A font of baseball knowledge.
Yeah. Unloads on our email chain today. All this information about Lou Piniella and his rookie year. Do you want to share with the rest of the class?
Not really.
I want you to share.
A load of information, but he started that season in spring training with the Seattle Pilots, and it was their expansion year as well. And then he was traded to Kansas City because he apparently clashed with the upper management. Imagine that, Lou Piniella.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine, Lou clashing
he
with anyone.
He seems like such a calm individual who takes everything in stride. So, but, yeah, he came to Kansas City, won Rookie of the Year, and was with the Royals for a couple of years and then ended up going on to the Yankees and going on to managing and everything else.
Well, guys, I have, a lot of stuff that we were going to try to cover tonight, and we're just not going to get it all
in.
So
let's see. The biggest thing is probably Danny Duffy's injury. He has a tear in his ulnar collateral ligament, which the UCL is the magic ligament for Tommy John surgery. I don't think he's officially opted for surgery
yet.
He's
going in for a second opinion. Did he already get the second opinion?
Actually,
I knew that was part of it.
I want to tell a really quick, and I'll try to make this quick. You guys know I don't do anything quick, but Danny Duffy feel-good story of the day. Danny, apparently I just missed running into him at the ballpark. He went up and stood where I normally stand in 136. He talked to the usher up there, Caitlin, and she goes, "You look a lot like Danny Duffy." He goes, "I am Danny Duffy." He just came up to get a different view of how people see the game. He wanted to be part of the crowd for a day. He was leaving at 3 o'clock today to go to Arizona to get his second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
which ties into what you were saying, but he gave a glove to Caitlin and said, find a little kid to give this glove to. And if you look at my Twitter handle from the during the game, and I'll try to retweet it out again, but we found a little boy who's been to a lot of Royals games. His family has a couple of, like a 21-game pack, and that little boy would not put the glove down. He was just holding it and hugging it, and they got a little message board, and they wrote, thanks, Danny, and we took a picture and tweeted it out at him. We haven't heard back from Danny Duffy yet, but made the little boy's day.
Oh, yeah, and he's been on Twitter during games. Like, it's just crazy.
He's the biggest fan. When the triple play incredible. That should have been the other night, he was the first guy. He was, like, standing on the top of the bullpen yelling at people, you know, yelling at the umpire. He's the biggest cheerleader there is for the Royals right now.
Well, all you hear is the bad stories, you know, of the players. You don't hear that kind of stuff, and people wouldn't have heard that unless you were there.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, this just really stinks that Danny Duffy has to go through this. So, you know, whether it's – it'll probably end up being Tommy John, but even if it's not, you know, it still sucks that he's going to be out for so long. And, I mean, if there's anybody that you want to have success, not to – you know, Danny Duffy, just with everything that he's done, with it, as involved with the fans as he gets, and it's genuine, too. It's not something – you know, we've had him on the Royal Man Report, and he's a real genuine guy who truly is just grateful to be where he is. And if there's anyone, you know, Danny, if you're listening, we wish you the best, though. And I really hope he's someone that you definitely root for. It's, you know, beyond just wanting to play well. You know, you root for him as a person, too.
Again, going back to the whole Twitter thing, of course, without Twitter, there wouldn't be a KC Royal Man because I would have given up a long time ago. And there wouldn't be a Royal Man Report. We wouldn't all know each other. You know, it all comes together through that. But, you know, he's really utilized that to do the Bury Me a Royal thing and get excited for the Royals and stuff like that. So he's really utilized it, and he's DDuff KC23, so you can definitely follow him. It's definitely worthwhile. Tiford and Coleman are back up. Adcock and Mazzaro are down, not because Adcock and Mazzaro did anything wrong, but just because we had a 15-inning game yesterday and need some fresh arms. This is not a 25-man team. This is a 40-man team that
basically,
sometimes
yeah.
players get 10 days off from the Major League club throughout the season is what you're seeing. So Tiford will start coming up, and it looks like your favorite.
I think Mendoza.
Yeah, Mendoza,
you know,
is going to get another
well
start.
On Sunday. I'll give him that. I mean, I'll give him his credit when it's due. I just, you know, you can't expect him to go out and give you six shutout innings all the time. There are going to be days like Bruce Chen where he puts the ball in play so often it's going to find a hole at some point.
And we don't have a lot of time to get into this. Maybe we'll get into this on Sunday. But Aaron Crow in the rotation, everybody always wants to talk about it. Look at days like today. Aaron just, he's not quite ready to be a starter, guys.
I think he needs a third pitch. I mean, his fastball and slider are very good, but his curveball and changeup just haven't developed.
Well, I think he could be a starter for the Royals. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's true. It's relative.
That's the qualifier, yes, yeah. For the Royals.
Come
indeed.
On now, you know. I
keep hoping Ryan Verdugo, another friend of the Royal Man Report, gets a shot. He's awful close. He's looking good in Omaha.
Really well.
So.
He's been pitching really well in AAA. That's absolutely right.
He came over in the Sanchez trade for Milky Cabrera, who's about to get an extension with San Diego because he's having a good year.
Wouldn't that be something if Verdugo came up and ended up being a better starter than Sanchez?
You know,
for
I
that
wouldn't
trade.
Be surprised, really. I mean, you see that it's kind of like Will Smith and Sean O'Sullivan. It's
yep.
the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we get down here on time, you know, there's a lot more we could talk about. Again, check us out at RoyalManReport.com. And the guys will be doing it without me on Sunday, which means it'll be an even better show. So definitely check that out. And then 2 weeks from now, we haven't figured out when or if for sure we're going to do a live show, but you can come hang out with your favorite Royal Man Report folks at Kelly's. Again, their 65th anniversary, McCoy's 15th anniversary, starts at 5 o'clock, $5 cover. You get music from Jeff Jenkins and the Lost Wax, and McCoy's and Boulevard Tastings, Jameson Tasting. And Fidel's will be up there with some cigars. You had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure everyone knows about the Kansas City Baseball Historical Reunion 2012, where the Athletics are coming in June 8th and 9th. We've got about 30, 32 players. We'll be at the Marriott downtown for the banquet Friday night, the 8th, of course. And then go to our website, go to our Facebook, and check it out.
Well, we're going to get out of here, but I want to say thanks to Chris Candler for all you do behind the scenes. Keep rocking it out, brother, and I hope your kid's winning. I'm Troy Olson.
I'm Mike Engel.
Jeff Logan.
And I'm Jeff Herr.
And we are the Royal Man Report and the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. Thank you, folks, so much for joining us today. Check us out online at RoyalManReport.com and Kansas City Historical Baseball Society. We'll be back here next Thursday, 6 o'clock, and Sunday, of course, at 7 on RoyalManReport.com, 6 o'clock here on 1510 and 1510 a.m. We are so grateful to have you all, and thank you to the T-Bones for being a sponsor for us. But until next week, we're going to get out of here, and go Royals!
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City.
San Hunt!
You're listening to ESPN 1510.